You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, good afternoon, ladies. And before we get started, I have to just mention a couple of things that happened recently, very recently, that were kind of a surprise to me. The first one is, did you both know that Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are getting divorced?
No.
I just was very surprised because they always seemed like a couple that was so in sync. And you almost feel like, boy, if it could happen to them, it could happen to anybody. But I just wanted to get your quick takes on that before we get started.
Well, if you want my opinion, I don't know how anybody could ever be interested in Bill Gates. I find him totally, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. I don't want to sound mean, but he's just totally unattractive to me in every way. There's nothing, absolutely nothing masculine about the man. And his politics alone would sicken me. So, yeah, I guess it doesn't really surprise me.
It's the use of the money that I don't agree with that would not turn me on, that he could buy his way into everything. So, and control. So maybe she got wise to that.
Well, and the second bit of news that just happened, which I think is really good news, is that Governor DeSantis in Florida has completely taken off any restrictions from COVID anymore. No masks, everything's completely open. Everything is business as usual in Florida.
Yeah, I love this guy. I really do. I can't tell you how much I love him. We're still wearing masks in my state. There are still many, many restrictions. And every time I go on social media and complain about it, they tell me to move. But moving to Florida would be a heavy lift for me right now. I don't know what to do. I'm fighting it on a local level, but it's just really difficult.
Well, I think that he's getting a lot of positive media coverage as if maybe he's being groomed to be a president. And because a lot of the things that are happening here in Texas is not being politicized the same way. And not to take away what he is doing, I think he has that good image. I think he would make a wonderful candidate for a president. Maybe a little less controversial, but definitely conservative. And so hopefully, you know, that is a possibility for him in the future. I'm sure he's waiting to see what Trump does. And but if Trump wouldn't run, I bet you he would.
I have to tell you both just real briefly something that happened to me the other day. I was in Lowe's. And I was buying some plants because we had the big Texas freeze and we lost a few plants. And there was this first time this has happened to me. I had my shopping cart in front of me. I was a good distance behind an older couple that was in front of me. And my husband had a shopping cart and he was behind me. And actually there was a space between he and I because some people wanted to walk between he and I. So we made a good sized space. But I moved up a little bit with my basket and we're in the line to pay. And this woman turned around to me and she said, "Get back. You need to stay 6 feet away from me." And I that's the first time that's ever happened to me. And by the way, I had my whole shopping cart between us. So my shopping cart was probably 2 feet behind their rear end. And I didn't know what to say. And then my husband, who was looking at a different shopper who had a bug on the plant that they picked up, and it scared the man. He kind of freaked out about this bug that was on the plant. And my husband laughed. And this lady came unglued at me and she said, "Your husband's laughing at me." I was just like, oh my gosh. And I thought, wow, you just see how these things kind of escalate. And I said, "No, he's not laughing at you. And we're vaccinated. All is good. you know, as then she walked up to the cashier and stood 2 feet in front of his face. So I don't know. It's really an interesting time, isn't it? But I'm going to throw this to you, Ava, because all kidding aside here, we have something very serious to talk about in America.
Yes. I think we should at least touch upon HR 1, which is hopefully it never sees the light of day, as far as I'm concerned. My biggest fear about this, and you and I have spoken about this, Linda, is the fact that it will change our voting laws considerably. The thing that's really scary is that they will register people even if they don't want to be registered. In other words, they'll be pulling from various agencies like driver's licenses and states, federal welfare, people that are enrolled in Obamacare, Social Security, Medicare, and so forth. And every one of these programs, by the way, has fraud in it. People that are not who they say they are, and so on. And sometimes people have different addresses. So a person could have anywhere from 10 to 20 different addresses and be enrolled in several of these programs. For example, you could have a driver's license and also be on Medicare and also have Social Security. So every one of these programs has lists of names that are inaccurate. The other thing that's really frightening is this legislation will make universal mail-in ballots become law. And there's no chain of custody, no signature, no verification, no ID required. So in other words, everything that was wrong with 2020 election will be made federal law by HR 1. And this frightens me to death.
Yeah, it does, me too. And another thing is that the states who are primarily responsible for maintaining and identifying information for people that has to report it in, and then they get to be registered. Also, if you are a student at any public secondary school, your name will go in as well. I have a real problem with all of this. It's almost, I feel it's very intrusive in my private life. And although I know that the government gets these records, I don't think that it's their business to act on these records. I think if I want to vote, it should be my responsibility to vote. It should be me as, you know, a citizen taking my own initiative and my own responsibility to register to vote. It is not the federal government's job, as HR 1 says. It says that it is their job to make sure that everybody is registered. Well, no, it's our job. I'm accountable for my actions. And that's what really, really bothers me about this, besides all of the ways that people can commit fraud. What they've done with HR 1 is take the absolute worst of what we saw in the 2020 election and put it in a bill. So how you could do that? I mean, the bill should be the opposite. It should be more like what Governor DeSantis is doing in Florida and making it not more difficult to vote, but more safe and more ethical and more fair for people to vote and more honest. He's taking out the factor of fraud as best he can, where the federal government wants to put it in. So this bill also allows for harvesting votes. And for people who don't know what harvesting votes is somebody can come to your door and say, hey, you know, I'm with such and such, and I'll take your vote and I'll go turn it in. I'll take your ballot and go turn it in. So they could throw it away. They could alter your vote. They could do whatever with your vote. How can that be safe and secure? And how can we assure, when they have no signature, no witness to your signature on a mail-in ballot, that those are who they say they are either? I mean, we had tremendous fraud in the 2020 election with mail-in ballots, just tremendous fraud. And now they want to basically legalize that.
Well, there are people that don't have the ability to vote. They are illiterate. They don't hear well, different factors, and they choose not to vote because they're either disqualified for not being able to read a ballot or whatever. But if everyone was automatic, and let's say that my senior father doesn't vote, I could take his vote and cast it because I could just send it to the computer. And that wouldn't be his vote, and that's not right. So you can tap in through the internet. You can, if people can get into your accounts, they can take your votes. And right now we're having audits like in Arizona that may prove that, and there's been a lot of stuff on OAN about how they were able to break into these machines and change the votes. So we already have problems, known problems of fraud with the use of them. And now they're making it from any computer you can cast a vote. So that doesn't sound very legit to me.
Afghanistan has a better voting system than we do.
Yeah, that's the purple ink, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And that doesn't come off their fingers for what, a week or something, so that they know that they voted.
Exactly.
Yeah. This particular bill also has, it's just ridiculous if you read the whole thing. People should really read all of it. And I know it's boring and it's kind of dry, but wow, it's so important to the freedom of Americans. They have this section 1015 for protections for errors and registration. So it's basically saying that you can't prosecute anybody under federal or state law if they happen to be an illegal alien or is not a citizen of the United States. You can't prosecute them for making an error and going ahead and registering. I mean, come on.
Could it be that they're anticipating a lot of illegal aliens voting?
Well, of course. I mean, this HR1 is a recipe for fraud in this country, and we will never have a free and fair election again. This is probably one of the laws that are bills, I would say, that is the most important or one of the most important that I've ever put forth. And it needs to be denied because it will just change our country. And why do they do this? Why do they want to take the voting away from the voting, the ways that the states use their own methodologies for people to vote? That's how the constitutional system is set up. And the reason that our framers did that is just exactly for this, so that we don't have one party in power who changes the rules and makes everything in their favor. That's exactly why the states have the states' rights and that they are supposed to be setting up their own voting practices. That's why you now see states that have ID that you have to show and states that don't, because they do what they're going to do there. But for the federal government to federalize this, I just think is absolutely not the intent of our framers, and it's not in the best interest of our country.
Well, the comments of that are voting rules that different states, especially the Republican states that are taking to make sure that we have fair voting process, is trying to claim that we are being biased or we prejudice people of other colors. So basically what they're saying is that the Black people can't get ID. The only people I know that can't get ID would be maybe falling in the bracket of illegals. But if they're not a citizen of the United States, why should they have a vote in the United States? I'm a big believer of that myself. But to sit there and insult the Black community and say that they're not capable of getting IDs, but yet they use it to drive, they use it to do all kinds of things, to check in a hospital, to get their prescription drugs. We can go on and on where every day a person might have to show their ID. It is such a bunch of hogwash to even insinuate and make this about race when it, you know, and to me, it's such an insult to that community that they should be very upset to be even hearing that about themselves.
And I just wanted to make a point here too. Illegals get driver's licenses. So What's up with that? I mean, they're illegal.
That's what they do in California. They give them driver's licenses and then they automatically check this box. They did this in the last election and the one before that. And they check the box that says, you know, do you want to register to vote? And somebody at DMV has been doing it. And then they get a ballot. And hey, I got a ballot, so I'll vote. Some people are definitely honest and they say, I shouldn't have gotten this. I'm not a citizen. But other people, they just vote. And since in California, for example, you can't check ID and it's a kind of a free for all there, you know that there's a lot of fraud besides the fact that the voter rolls are completely not cleaned in California and Judicial Watch had to sue them at, in Los Angeles to even get the voter rolls clean. So they had so many dead people and ineligible people and people that had moved on the voter rolls. It was over a million people. That could definitely swing an election in Los Angeles.
Now, if you think about it, I heard you say that you think this should be given to the state, but then you get a state like California. And California has, you know, such a big state, has such a big impact in the numbers in election, especially like, national elections, such as a president. So if you turn around and let them run amok and let anyone vote, false people, no ID, I mean, and I don't agree with the fact that when Texas and other states joined to contest this with the Supreme Court that, you know, what was the state that changed the rules at the last minute and it didn't have the proper legislators doing it, you know.
Pennsylvania. That was Pennsylvania.
That is an impact on the rest of the states. I disagree. It's not just about how it impacted Pennsylvania. If it was their local election, so be it, if that's the way they want to run it. But to me, when I'm voting here in Texas, wanting my candidate to win, and I believe that it affects the whole national basis of our freedom and everything else that we stand for as American, I want it to be a fair election. If Trump won fairly, great. If he lost fairly, great. But then it fairly is the key word. And when some states like California can run amok like they do and don't have a fair basis for voting rights, and they have as many delegates as they do, I have a problem with that.
From what you said, Kathy, I think that I agree with you in some ways that, you know, we were hurt a lot by the states that didn't have the same kind of rules that Florida and Texas do about the voter ID and about ballot harvesting and those types of things. And that's being looked into right now in Arizona for sure, because people in Arizona have told me, and lots of people that I know in Arizona have said, there's no way that Biden won in Arizona. But the federal government, in my opinion, if they were going to make a rule, the rule should be a stricter rule. It should be a rule that should be one that says that we're protected against this kind of fraud. It should be that everybody has to have ID. You have to have ID to go buy some alcohol in a bar or in a liquor store. Why on earth would you not have to show ID to vote, which is one of the most important things that happens in our country? And it affects our country much more deeply if you go have a drink in a bar. So why would they go the opposite direction? And the reason is because they feel that they will then win the elections, because I think that they have learned something from the 2020 election. They've learned how to commit fraud better, and now they're going to legalize it. And I just think that this is a huge mistake, and people need to speak up about this and call their senators, because this is past Congress now, and we're at the Senate. Our Senate is 50-50. Kamala Harris is the 51st vote. That's the problem.
So, Linda, you agree the only way to control the other states is that it has to come from Washington. But the craziness that exists right now is to just have it any which way that gets the Democrats the vote. So they aren't protecting the public, the whole nation, when it comes to a fair process. So how do we sit there and say the only way to fix this is our federal government. And yet our federal government is trying to do everything to run us into the ground right now and destroy America. So what do we do? We, you know, our state, like Texas, is looking at it individually. Florida is looking at it. Georgia looked at it, and look what price they paid for it. So what do we do? And if the federal government comes there and trumps, meaning overpower the decisions of the state, then, you know, what do? Can we call for stricter rules when they say you can't? Because they've attached the criminal penalty to their rules.
Yeah, I want to play devil's advocate here for a second. The framers made our government the way it is for a very good reason. They wanted to keep these types of things local. And it's very important, I think, that we keep the states separate and local. And that's where the power is, actually. I have a hell of a lot more power over who wins the seat on my school board, my local school board, than I do for who, you know, runs for governor or senator or whatever in my state. So everything local to me is extremely powerful and very important. And this is actually panning out right now in my state. There's a tremendous backlash against schools teaching critical race theory, and charter schools are popping up all over my state, little charter schools. And these are run by young mothers and fathers and former teachers who didn't want to teach critical race theory to begin with. It's kind of an amazing thing to witness, and it gives me hope. It really does. And that's why I want to keep everything local, especially something very, very powerful like the right to vote.
But the right to vote, again, going back to what I say, and I'm a big fan of what you just said. I agree with that. And right now, Mitt Romney, for example, got booed out of his convention because he went on a tangent and didn't support the Republican Party. Good for Utah. But when you deal with elections, what happens in California affects us in Texas and et cetera, et cetera. So when they don't care, in these states that don't care about having legit voting, it's affecting the ones that do. When you vote for your own governor and you vote for your own school policies and what we're going to teach, that can be kept local. What do you do when it's a national issue?
Well, the way that we have to fix that is not by having the federal government involved like they want to be. It is by people in the states, just like in Ava's state, getting sick to death of what their state is doing. And you see what California is doing in the recall on Gavin Newsom, because you know, he has
gone too far.
Finally gone over the deep end, and they realize it. Yeah, he's made a big mess. So it has to be. I agree with you, Kathy, that the states like California mess us up. They mess up the rest of the country. The left coast and the right coast mess up the center of the country. I mean, that's just a fact. But there's a point where people are going to say, and we have the best chance of people in one state saying, hey, we're going to make a change. Now, Georgia made a change, and they stood by the change that they made, and they took away some of those things that they did in the last election, which were good things. Florida has tightened up their rules. There are other states doing this. So I think that it's like a pendulum that's going to swing. But if we have the federal government telling all of us that we have to play under these rules of HR1, we are just absolutely done with a free and fair election ever again in the United States.
This is the absolute definition of tyranny. That's what it is.
Well, HR1. It's exactly what they do in socialist countries. They determine exactly what you're going to do so that it benefits them. Nothing is free and fair about it. And that is the problem here. And, you know, luckily we have one or two senators on the Democratic side who, you know, understand that some of these things are not good for the country. And I'm hoping that they understand that this one's not good for the country. I don't know their take on this one. I don't know if either of you know, but this one is just so dangerous to The America that our forefathers founded for us, the America that they foresaw and fought to protect. And this just takes it away. This just makes it an absolute free-for-all for anybody to do anything.
Well, what do you think the Supreme Court might do in a situation like this?
Well, and that's a good question. And, you know, I'm gonna ask you that question, Kathy, because you're an attorney. And this, as in my understanding, has to do with the 10th Amendment that says that states' rights are pretty inviolate. So what does that mean? I mean, can they just do this by the vote of the Senate and then it's going to happen? Because I do think the Supreme Court will get this case for sure, because our Constitution has a 10th Amendment.
Well, I mean, I was looking a little bit before our discussion, and there is some authority on the federal government to have a hand on this constitutionally. But when they're in violation of what's right for the people, I mean, it's definitely a ripe subject, but very disappointed in the way they handled everything that went to them lately, even with the selection of Trump's candidates. I was pretty shocked on the rejection of hearing things that should have been heard. And so I'm concerned. What is going on with the Supreme Court?
Yeah, definitely something's going on, because they did not take up the case regarding Trump's taxes, and they did not take up the case about Trump potentially winning the 2020 election.
Is now, change of the rules at the last minute, and it wasn't done properly in their state, and our state, you know, tried to contest it, but they said that we had no authority, but it does affect the other states. So
I think these are exactly the types of cases that the founders planned the Supreme Court to take. That's why they invented the Supreme Court to begin with. These are the huge cases that are, you know, determine our future.
And yet, what are they doing?
Well, I think they've gotten a little bit political over there, and they're so afraid that, if you remember when Amy Coney Barrett, when she was put in, the Democrats kept saying that she was going to be the one to be there so that she could make sure that Trump won the election. And I feel like the Supreme Court went the other direction and wanted to make clear to everybody that that wasn't the case. I feel extremely betrayed by that. I feel that 75 million people in this country didn't get heard, and we had a right to be heard. And we feel that President Trump won the election, but either way, they didn't take it. And, you know, I have to admire Arizona for going forward with them having somebody independent come in and look at their ballots, you know, and I worry about that, because there were so many ballots. When this company was hired to come in and recount everything and go through signatures and do all the proper things that should have been done, a lot of ballots were found shredded and put in dumpsters all of a sudden. This is way after the election.
Right.
Which tells me that somebody was covering their tails. So I don't know how this is going to come out. And I worry about that. But I'm glad that it's being done. I think that every other state, like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia and Wisconsin, they should have to do this as well. I just feel it's the right thing. And in Michigan, they have found that in the machines, that chips were put in the machines to allow them to go on the internet. They were put in after the fact. They did a forensic study of them. They subpoenaed them, and they found that. So what they're doing with that, I don't know. I haven't heard. I want to know what they're doing with that. Were they put on the internet? Was there fraud? Were votes, you know, taken away from Trump and given to Biden? I saw it on TV myself. I saw it happen on TV. So I know that it happened, but nobody's talking about it anymore. We're just going.
It's funny, isn't it?
Funny.
Isn't it funny that the news media is completely mute on this subject?
Except OAN.
Yes.
Now, OAN was running on one Saturday, a big thing, and they were using the pillow guy to dictate, to be the commentator. And they had a forensic expert and his background. They showed his background, military, civilian, very skilled, high level forensic computer guy. And he could see all the times they went in to the computer, and he could see when it was changed. And like, if you changed 20,000, you took out 20,000 votes, that 20,000 went over to Biden. And then you could see also every time they looked at it, just to check to see who was winning, you know, where nothing was done. And you could see both. And it was illustrated. It was computer printouts. It looked to me, I deal with a lot of forensic reports on a lot of my cases, and it looked just like it was as real as can be. It had all the buzzwords, all the things on there that I would expect with a computer forensic check. And I was convinced listening to it, and they were running them all Saturday. I think it was a week ago Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the one before. And they were running it all day, showing it, showing the reports. It was legit reports. And so what I didn't get where those, what computers they came from, but it showed the actual reports, the results of it. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen in Arizona. I know they're like wanting to know the results, and they won't tell us anything or anyone anything until they get the full investigation done.
I saw that as well. And the courts, the case that was going to court with that was also ignored by the judicial system. So everything that's been shown to happen, they say that there's nothing to see here. There's no evidence. And, you know,
again, they're stonewalling it.
Well, they just say nothing to see here because they figure that we'll all go away. But
although Clarence Thomas wrote a very brilliant and eloquent dissent about this. And, you know, he wanted to hear the case. Sadly, sadly he's in the minority there, but, you know, he's a great man.
I just cannot imagine that with all of the things that happen on election day, that not a court would have anything to do with it. I don't know where we're at with that. I want to take just a second to introduce our host today. So today we have Kathy Lothorp, who is a defense attorney, and she's in the Dallas area. And we have Ava Armstrong, who is my very favorite prolific author. You can catch her books on Amazon and anywhere that you buy books. And I'm Linda Martinelli, a business owner and also the host with my husband. I always have to say that of Talking While Married right here on America Out Loud, weeknights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will be right back.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Well, the state that keeps on giving, actually to criminals, California, is giving 76,000 inmates, including violent and repeat felons, the opportunity to leave prison earlier, as the state wants to trim the population what was once was the nation's largest state correctional system. More than 63,000 of those inmates were convicted of violent crimes, and they will be eligible for good behavior credits that shorten their sentence by one third instead of one fifth. So the rule, and Kathy, you know this, used to be 1-5, right? Now it's 1-3. So, and what they say is that it's really not good behavior. It's you're in prison and you're breathing, you're going to get early release. 20,000 of those inmates are serving life sentences with the possibility of parole. So this new rule in California goes into effect right now. And I just don't know what on earth California or any state that does this is thinking. These social justice warriors are risking the health and safety and lives of all of the good law-abiding citizens of California. And by the way, these people don't stay in California. Once they get out, they go somewhere else and they can go anywhere that they want. And the recidivism rate is over 60%. In some cases, and the 60% is within 2 years, but take it to 5 years, it's going to be higher into the 80%. So if you extrapolate those numbers, and I'm just doing this in my head, so it's not exact, but if you have 76,000 inmates that committed crimes, you're going to have 40 to 50,000 people that are going to be re-victimized in the next few years by those same people. And then you extrapolate that to all the other states that are doing this. And what are our politicians doing to us when it is their first responsibility as a politician, as somebody that we elect? The first responsibility of our government is to keep us safe.
Well, they're saying in the articles that I've read on this that it's an incentive to be good. And so if you are lose good behavior time, you can just get it back by being good again and move your way back up. And so you can earn this good behavior credit by being a good boy in prison, and they'll let you out earlier, even if they are serving higher sentences like life, or in Texas, some of the cases have to do half of the time. And then there's automatic life cases on other cases. So it's pretty scary that all they have to do is pretend to be good for a while, and then they can be released.
Yeah, reducing the sentence of somebody that's a criminal doesn't stop them from being a criminal. It just lets them out earlier. So making it easier for criminals to actually execute crimes upon innocent people, this is a recipe for disaster, along with all the police officers that are now retiring in droves. 830 officers have left the New York Police Department this year. I mean, I know they have the largest police force, but that's a big number. And I don't know if they're even replacing these police officers at this point.
Well, the police officers, you know, it's war on police right now. It's absolutely there. They have a huge target on their back. And you have police officers in Minnesota, in Seattle, in Portland, in New York, like you said, and a lot of these other cities that are having riots and problems that the politicians and the people in charge are not even prosecuting people that riot. What else can they do? In my opinion, they should leave. they should resign, they should leave, they should go to a place that appreciates them and lets them do their job and lets them protect people. But all we've done with these places, and New York is one of them, I think, that has taken away qualified immunity. Is that right, Ava?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So why would you work there if you cannot have qualified immunity? We should take qualified immunity away from our politicians. Take it away from everybody in the Senate. Take it away from the governors. Take it away from the people in Congress. And take it away from President Biden, because when he allows people to run over our border by the millions, and you have something that happened like this tragedy in San Diego where the boat fell apart and five people died and 25 were injured, and they were all illegal immigrants, you know, who were being welcomed by the Biden administration. Shouldn't somebody be responsible? If you want to make a police officer responsible, then they should also be responsible for the pain and suffering that they cause.
I don't see this ending well at all.
This is a slap to victim rights also.
Oh, big time, big time.
Well, and if I was a police officer, which I have been, I would say, why am I doing my job? Why am I risking myself if they don't even take it serious when it comes to punishment, or anything? I mean, I believe in the rights to parole and earning it if your state has those types of laws. But just to be this rampant governor who is trying to be voted out of the state and having the power to say, let them free, set them free, bring in the immigrants, let's just tear up the most beautiful state in our nation, which California was. And I'm from there, born and raised, and I am so disappointed in that state. People are flocking out of there because of it. And because of these rules, and the homeless that goes from tent to tent to tent, and goes from downtown Los Angeles all the way to Santa Monica. Have you ever been to the beach? Which, if you ever been to California, you would know how big of an area that encompasses. And so right now, states that where people are flocking to, like Florida and Texas, are getting more powers with representatives, and California's starting to lose them. What are they thinking?
Yeah, and one other thing we need to mention here too, speaking about the homeless and drug addicts and mentally ill people, okay? They comprise most of the homeless encampments, and police officers deal with this daily. And it's really a sad thing that we don't have some sort of place like we used to have anyways years ago for mentally ill people to be cared for in some fashion. Sure. It's just, to me, it's an atrocity upon humanity. It really is.
Well, it absolutely is. And what are you going to do now that you have 76,000 people getting early release? Then, I mean, it's just going to put more of a target on the backs of these officers. You have people that they have put in prison. They're supposed to stay there for a time. There's nothing. And Kathy, you might know this better than myself would. There's nothing in any document that says, other than what they believe, that letting them out early and being kind helps them to rehabilitate. There's nothing that shows that they don't have a recidivism rate that's off the charts.
When there's serious charges, aggravated charges, weapons, guns in their hands, they're not afraid to pick them up again. When there are drugs in their bodies, they're not afraid to go back to the same drugs. And so what I'm suggesting is there's going to be a small percentage that might do well. But for the most part, they got a record. They're having a hard time with jobs, and they're going to have to turn to something again to survive. And once they feel comfortable in a certain arena, they're going to go back to what they know. And so they haven't been rehabilitated. And especially when it's aggravated, it becomes more of a punitive punishment. And so we're letting that same thing out on the streets to do the same thing again. And so that's going to be a problem With crime and everything else that's going to exist. Now, you mentioned earlier in a previous discussion that there tends to be more, or maybe we did this off record, but there does seem to be more crime and more murders and stuff in the Black community. So if you talk about that, if you look at some cities, there's more Black on Black crimes. And so when they say by keeping them in jail, that's prejudice, that's bias, really, we're not protecting the Black community if we let them back on the streets to keep doing the same crimes.
And actually, the Black community wants more police, not less.
Well, so that's right. They do.
It's really horrific to live in some of these neighborhoods. And, you know, these Black families are preyed upon. Their children are, you know, threatened. They're threatened. Stray bullets are flashing around. I mean, and meanwhile, 560 police officers just left Chicago. What's happening? What we're watching happen? The Democrats want to change policing, the definition of it, to something where they don't arrest people or put them in jail if they've committed a violent crime. They want the police officer to go and counsel them and to give them money and to give them food or to give them, you know, some kind of pep talk, I guess. And they actually really think this is going to work. I mean, if they don't understand the brutality that's out there in some of these cities, I mean, it's just sickening to me to watch. It's sad what's happening.
Well, it's very sad. And we should be going the opposite direction, because if anybody has looked at the murder rates and the violent crime rates in the country, we have murder rates just sky high in Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, Minnesota, you name it, the murder rates are going up. Why? Because they're defunding police, because police officers are leaving, because they are not supporting them. I wouldn't want to work in that job today. I don't know about you, Kathy, but it would be very difficult to not have your department have your back. And I know that you've had dealings with that where the department hasn't had people's backs at times. And, you know, we should be going the other way. We should be giving police more training, more tools to do their job.
More authority,
because the fact is, and this is not what you hear on the news, but the fact is that out of the millions and millions of contacts that police officers have with citizens on a daily basis across this country, under 2% develop into any kind of a use of force. And of that 2%, a very small percentage ever becomes deadly force. So the figures that you hear on the news, the figures that you hear from Black Lives Matter that say police are brutal, the figures you hear from who's the basketball player that came out and gave the picture of the police officer, you know, their figures and their information that they are selling to people is completely a lie.
Yeah. And, you know, our chief executive police officer in this country is the president of the United States. And he's actually flaunting the law, okay? Because he's opened the border up and said, you know, come on in. And he took an oath, and every person sitting in that Congress took an oath to protect and defend the United States of America, to protect our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And they are all breaking the law, in my opinion, by allowing this border incursion to go on, not just allowing it, they're actually fomenting it. They're actually encouraging it. They're actually sending messages, books written by Kamala Harris to come to America. This is going to destroy our country. These are cartels coming across the border. How do these kids get iPhones? They're indentured servants to the cartel.
That's true.
We better wake up in this country. And I'll tell you who needs to be arrested is Joe Biden, and every person in that Congress needs to be arrested for not protecting this country.
But what do we do? Why doesn't anyone have the power to do anything to stop what's going on?
Well, we have the power, but we're not taking it. We're not voting in a way that makes any sense. And in my opinion, when we did vote in a way that made sense, it was taken away from us by fraud. So I the only tool that we have is our voice, is our resistance to what's happening, and our vote. That's our only tool. I mean, we now have to wait till the 2022 elections to have a voice again. And the damage that can be done to this country in that time is huge. So we still have to speak up. We can't just sit back. I've heard so many people say, I don't want to listen to the news anymore. It's too depressing. I don't know who to believe. I don't believe the media. So I just tune out. And that's what they want. You know, then they can just keep doing what they're doing. I hope, as Ava said, that we see some results from Arizona. And if Arizona shows that there was fraud, I think it's going to wake people up a little bit.
Well, I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I have faith in a state like Texas. We had our special election and very impressed with our open seat with and it was a mix. I don't know if everyone knows this, but it was a mix of Democrat and Republican candidates. And there were so many in there running.
Yeah, 23, huh?
Yes. And so everyone knew no one would get over that 50% hurdle. So the two top candidates were going to be in it. I just knew it was going to be one Republican and one Democrat. And I was so impressed the two top were Republicans. And now we can relax and vote for the best candidate. I chose my vote based on the fact that I did not want to dilute the vote by, you know, if I thought one person was really good, but it was a smaller candidate and maybe didn't have as much money and didn't put out as much, I was afraid to vote for that person because we needed to make sure a Republican made that 50, you know, made that higher number to be one of the two candidates when the 50% wasn't reached. So that's how I chose my vote. And I was impressed. But, you know, I mean, California, is there enough people there that's going to, you know, do what they have to do? You know, and it's kind of funny who's running out there, but, you know, but there is some conservative vote. It's kind of a silly conservative vote, but it's out there. And is the fact that if our elections are taken away or if more fraud happens, is it going to be a fair election when we go to vote the next time? And can we get our house back and keep the Senate as we have and until we can get to the presidential election? We need that to stop this president. And God knows that the people of the United States need to wake up and quit listening to their media and listen to what's really going on. And they think the same of us. That's the problem. They think we're being polluted with garbage and false information on our side, and they won't even listen. So I don't know. I don't know how we got there, but I feel like this is Germany back in World War, you know, with the Nazis and the control.
We can win this, but we have to be smart in how we do it. We have to unite with people in our cities, in our towns, and go to meetings and support candidates. It's going to all happen locally. That's how it's going to happen.
Ava, you know, what's interesting is that we play fair. I mean, I'm not everyone's perfect, but as a group, as a Republican or a conservative vote, we try to play fair and do it right. And they don't, okay? This liberal-sided, extreme liberal side doesn't play fair. They're dirty, they'll cheat, they'll do whatever they can, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, so who's gonna win? I like to think that God's gonna let that, but we're so complacent sometimes that, you know, we have a lot of Christians, like say in the Bible Belt, and, you know, a lot of churches won't talk about politics and they don't let them talk about it. So they don't educate their people, you know, and we just got to sit back and let things happen. And we need more aggressive players. We can still play fair, but we need more aggressive ability to not be complacent like we are as a group. We're too complacent.
If the founders had been playing by the British rules, we never would have a country right now. So you have to keep this tucked in the back of your mind. that undermining this evil government that we now have is going to take some very drastic measures. Yes, it will.
And we have some strikes against us in doing that, and in the hundreds of thousands or millions of illegals running over the border. And if they pass HR 1, then who knows how many of those people will vote. And then they want to give them all amnesty so that they can vote. And you now have felons being able to vote. And now you have the federal government who wants to get involved in our elections. So we have a lot of work to do. Not a time to sit back and do nothing. We need to, you know, remain active. And I agree, it's all in the local politics. We, you know, the election that we just had in my area, I only had school board people to vote for. But I went and talked to those school board people, because although I only had three people to vote for, I wanted to find those candidates for school board that absolutely did not believe in teaching critical race theory. And that's who I voted for. And that's important to me. And that's important to our children. So if every parent and every person would take time to really understand who they're voting for, I can't see that we can go this way, as Kathy said, of, you know, Nazi Germany, because that is the direction. And that is the way that we are going right now. We need to take care and keep our America.
Biden giving free college. He's going to have control over what those colleges teach those young minds.
Oh, he's already said he's putting that in there. He's making critical race a required subject.
So free education to be corrupted, and then they're voting. So yeah, we're going to be stomped on if something doesn't happen.
I fear for the future. I really do. And I think, you know, the future is really going to be in our hands. We're the ones that need to make the changes.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.